This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield, with more on the controversial life and times of Facebook, where, let's face it, a certain hypocrisy has ruled. On the one hand, its business model is built on getting to know you, all about you. On the other hand, it hasn't shared much about itself. That is, until Wednesday, when Facebook's IPO forced it to open the books for the very first time. Also last week, Europe pressured the website to let in a little sunshine. Europe has long been more sensitive about invasions of privacy than the United States, and has often served as a bellwether for what global companies can or can't get away with elsewhere. To find out what the future might hold for us in the United States, we asked Chris Wirth, a London-based reporter for Marketplace, to track down a couple of the characters involved with the sweeping changes in European privacy laws, laws that will certainly change how Facebook does business over there.
First, let me take you to Austria to meet Max Schrems.
Nice to meet you.
He's a law student at the University of Vienna. He's carrying a towering stack of papers that he tosses down on his living room table.
That's like a pile.
The pile is a printout of all the data Facebook has collected on him, or at least all the data Facebook has given him. Under European law, companies like Facebook are required to hand over every scrap of information they collect on a person whenever they ask for it.
My first shock was how much information there was there. And I didn't expect it to be like 1,200 pages because I'm not a heavy Facebook user. I'm posting something like once a week.
Schrems believes he's the first person to get Facebook to hand over all the personal data it collects. Some of the information, he says, was the normal stuff you'd expect to find. Profile photos, status updates.
But a lot of the information is also like data that Facebook is gathering in the background that not the user is putting in, but Facebook is generating somehow.
For example, Schrems scrolls down through an electronic file of the data to a list that reveals the exact location of the computer he last logged on from.
So you see latitude, longitude, altitude, blah, blah, blah. And that's exactly, if you type it into Google, it's my university in the U.S.
And he found old posts and other entries he claims he deleted years ago.
Like I poked someone in 2008, it's still there today.
None of it may sound like anything to get too worried about. After all, the bargain we all strike with social networking sites is that we get to share information with our friends for free, and the sites use that information to target us with ads. But under European law, companies like Facebook are required to get a person's consent before they collect any data, and they're supposed to delete the information when someone clicks delete.
But they don't. And very likely there's way, way more. Like, for example, I didn't get anything about the videos I put online, or there's nothing about the like button that's all over the web, where just visiting the page, Facebook can track that I was there. Kind of all the information that creeps people out was not in the data set.
So Schrems started a campaign called Europe versus Facebook. It filed formal complaints against the company in Ireland, where Facebook's European subsidiary is based. Ireland's Data Protection Commissioner, Billy Hawkes, says Schrems has performed a valuable public service.
He established for people the amount of information, in fact, that Facebook is gathering about them. And I think one useful outcome is that people have a clearer idea of what Facebook is doing with data.
Hawkes completed an audit of Facebook last month with close cooperation from the company. He says the report confirms Facebook hadn't deleted information it should have, and he says the company needs to be more transparent about the data it collects. But he says the audit also dispels certain myths about what the company gets up to. Specifically, Schrems claims that not only is Facebook amassing reams of data about its members, he says it's also keeping tabs on non-members through so-called shadow profiles. Hawkes explains.
The idea of a shadow profile is that if you visit a site, for example, that has a Facebook like button on it, that Facebook knows this. And the idea was that Facebook, if you weren't a member of Facebook, was gathering information on your likes, even though you weren't a member.
Hawkes says his investigation proved that Facebook does collect data on non-members, but he claims the company doesn't use the information to profile them.
Furthermore, we got clear commitments from Facebook to delete this data more rapidly than it was already doing.
And that's not all. Hawkes also convinced Facebook to change its policy on how it uses facial recognition to identify people in photos. It's a feature called Tag Suggest that generates a unique data set on a user's face. Today, when a member in Europe logs on to Facebook, they're presented with an opportunity to opt out of Tag Suggest.
You're told three times you have this option, and if you ignore it, well, then you're opted in.
Since Max Schrems publicized his mountain of data, Facebook has received 40,000 requests for personal information. Facebook didn't respond to multiple invitations for an interview for this story, but Hawk says the company will create an automated system for retrieving the personal data it holds.
And even though our audit was carried out under European law, we understand that they will roll out the implementation worldwide, which is obviously something very positive.
So you can download your own data, even if you're in Pittsburgh instead of Paris. But Schrem says not to expect Facebook to give you everything. For On the Media, I'm Christopher Wirth.
Chris is here to answer a couple of more questions. Hey, Chris.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Good to be here.
So does Facebook have to open up the vaults for all those 40,000 Europeans who pulled a Schrems?
When Facebook responded to Schrems, it was the first time that it had responded to such a request. So it just went and created a PDF of all of Schrems' material and handed it over to Schrems on a disk. What Facebook does now when it gets a request is it sends you a nice polite email saying that it's dealing with your request, and if you'd like to do so, you can go to its website and download all the material that it collects on you. But when you do that, you're only going to get all of the material that you would see anyway on your Facebook profile. It's essentially, for the moment, stopped putting as much material out there as it gave Schrems.
There were some new regulations proposed at the end of last month in Europe. What are they?
They essentially boil down to two ideas. The first, online companies like Facebook, they need to be more transparent about the data that they collect. They need to tell users what they're collecting and what they're using it for. And second, users under these new rules, they're going to be able to have a lot more control over their own data. It's this idea of the right to be forgotten. So, you know, take that teenager who today may be posting potentially damaging or compromising photos. When that person's a little older, the proposed law says they should be able to go to Facebook and make that compromising photo disappear.
Chris, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Good to be here.
Christopher Wirth is a London-based reporter for Marketplace.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.